darkness at thy speaking, it was done. For created light we thank thee, while thine ordered seasons run. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this is the time of year that the Christmas boxes come out of storage. Yes, it is the time of year that the trees are put up, ornaments are hung, and the traditional manger scene is pulled out of that musty-smelling box. Christmas lights are also hung outside, and wreaths are carefully placed. And who can forget eggnog? Who can forget eggnog and all the baked Christmas goodies that get conjured up in the kitchens across our lands? There's no doubt about it that this is the time of the year that there is a Christmas buzz. This buzz, it really starts right around Thanksgiving, and it's followed by the hype of Black Friday, and it is intensified by the Cyber Monday craze. Consequently, the Christmas culture in America seems to be on an upward euphoric trend, excitement intensifying as each day moves a little closer and closer and closer to Christmas, upward and onward. With the Christmas spirit is the cultural trend. That is, until we come face to face with our text today. Undeniably, today's gospel reading tends to knock all of us off of this euphoric onward and upward trend, this upward movement, as we read about John the Baptist. John the Baptist and his message, they certainly stop this elated upward hype in its tracks. And the appearance of John the Baptist certainly does not blend in well with the gold glitter and the rich Christmas colors. Rather, John the Baptist, his attire of camel hair and a leather belt, may remind us more of the Scrooge who stole Christmas. Furthermore, his diet of large grasshoppers and wild honey certainly spoil our visions of sugar plums dancing in our heads. And that wilderness, with its dry and dirty and lifeless environment, it clashes with the white powder of Christmas, the snow that rests gently upon candy canes. This leads us to a temptation. Don't deny it, it does lead us to a temptation. Maybe we should just go around John the Baptist and his message. That only logically makes sense, since it appears that John the Baptist, his appearance and his food selection and his stern message of repentance are, yes, maybe they are all anti-Christmas spirit, so it appears. With the temptation before us to bypass John the Baptist, and maybe with the temptation to start some sort of petition to remove him from the church calendar, we must first pause and ask ourselves why our forefathers originally chose this text, chose John the Baptist as a theme for the second Sunday in Advent. Otherwise stated, before we simply walk around this uncomfortable character, this reading of the gospel that tends to collide with our modern sensibilities, we should at least ponder for a moment why this text was chosen for the second Sunday of Advent in the first place. As we pause and we consider John the Baptist for a moment, what we come to realize is that John the Baptist was basically the last of the Old Testament prophets. John the Baptist, he followed in the footsteps of the Old Testament prophets, and he came before the people, warning the people of their sins and to be ready for the coming of the Messiah that was coming to save mankind from their sin. We also need to consider for a moment that John the Baptist and his ministry all took place out where? Out in a wilderness. This is relevant because first century nationalistic theology said that Jerusalem, not the wilderness, was the hub of everything great that was happening and that was going to happen, not the wilderness. I think this is all beginning to make sense. John the Baptist was calling the people of Israel to leave the hub and center of spirituality, Jerusalem, and come out to the quiet place in the wilderness, to come out to the quiet and empty and barren desert. In the desert, they would be freed from all that noise and all the clutter and chatter of Jerusalem, and they would come face to face with a simple message, John's message, of repentance, a simple yet direct message. Is that not what our text is doing to us today, right here and right now? Is not our gospel reading from today attempting to pull each and every one of us out of the busyness of the holiday season into the wilderness in order to hear John's simple and his blunt and important message of repentance over sin? Is not our Advent season a kind of wilderness, a season that pulls us out of the commotion of our lives, and it slows us down, and it causes us to soberly focus on our sin and the coming Savior? Does it not do this? Does not the wilderness strip us down to the basics? This is precisely the reason why John the Baptist is included in our Advent season, a season that is leading up to the coming Messiah in a manger. Thus, we would say, the message of John the Baptist is intended to dislodge us. It is intended to be that roadblock to our euphoric trajectory. It is intended to be that wrench thrown in the works. John the Baptist and his message are caused to make us do that double take and say, what did he just say? My friends, John the Baptist brought a message of repentance, a message to be aware of one's sin. This was a message that was boldly proclaimed in the wilderness, keep in mind, before the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Like the difficult messages spoken to the people around the Jordan River, pastors today need to deliver that same hard message. We all must be confronted with sin before we hear about the solution to our sin in Christ Jesus. In other words, even though the message of sin and repentance and temporal death and eternal death and suffering in hell are not popular messages or even a politically correct message in our culture today, these messages and these themes are indeed necessary. And yes, they are necessary before Christmas. In fact, I would contend that these themes are crucial for us to hear during this Advent season, right here and right now. The message of repentance of sin is so important because this message, yes, this message of repentance, this message of Advent, needs to come before the message of Christmas. To put it another way, the message of repentance needs to come before the message of faith. The law, yes, the law of God, needs to come before the Lord's gospel. The bad news needs to come before the good news. You need to hear the message of John the Baptist before you can receive the message of Jesus Christ coming to you in a manger. Now, why is this the case? It is this way because how can faith enter a heart that has not yet been crushed? How can a person feel hungry and thirsty while he or she dislikes the food set before them? No, indeed, if you wish to believe in Christ, you must become sick, for Christ is a physician only for those who are sick. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Therefore, you must first become lost and condemned sinner. He is the good shepherd who goes out in search of the lost sheep. Therefore, you must realize that you are a lost sheep before you have any need of a searching good shepherd. Frankly stated, my friends, the gospel, yes, the gospel, is for sinners only. Christmas is for sinners only. Blessed saints, consider this for a moment. Had there been no sin on earth, there would have been no Christmas. Had there been no sinners, there would have been no need for a Savior. For this very reason, the Christmas gospel is a message for sinners and only for those who acknowledge their sins. Yes, only those who acknowledge their sins can understand the true meaning of Christmas. Now, tying this all together, we're beginning to see that this strange gift that John the Baptist brought to the Israelites is the same gift that the Holy Spirit must work in us, in you, through the Word. The reason why? It is something that we so desperately need. Our pride, our self-reliance, our stubborn belief that by our own goodness that we can please God, these are the things that need to be continually, yes, killed in us so that we can be prepared to continually receive the kingdom of God, especially within the context of our Advent and Christmas season. No doubt about it, repentance is harsh and it is painful, but it is indeed necessary. It is a necessary part of God's plan to have you with Him forever. Repentance is a gift, and it prepares you to receive the greatest of all gifts, Jesus, your forgiving Savior. Personalizing this even more, John the Baptist, yes, John the Baptist, he comes along and he points his bony finger in your face. And his message is that you are sinners. Yes, you. You are the ones who are guilty. You need to repent. Stop blaming everyone else for your problems. If you try to hide your sin, its infection will only spread. Eventually, it will kill you, not just here on this earth, but forever in eternity. You deny your own sin at your peril. Painfully, John the Baptist and the Advent message, they strip you and they strip me of all this Christmas frills and the sometimes superficial phoniness of secularized Christmas. Very much the message of John and Advent, they strip us down to the basics, naked, vulnerable, and empty towards the one who comes. Just when we think that John the Baptist and his message of repentance are about to destroy our Christmas season and leave us in despair with nothing. We can take note, though, in our gospel reading that his crushing message is intended to do something for us, for it is a gift. It prepares us for something else. In other words, the whole point of John's ministry was to prepare the people for the Lord. John even confesses that there is one who is more powerful than him, who is coming after him. Blessed saints of Zion, Lutheran Church, it is most certainly true that we must hear the law preached to us. Undeniably, it is most important for us and truly a great gift to have the heavy hand of God's perfect and righteous and holy law pressed against us, for the waters of grace cannot penetrate a stony heart. In other words, after the law has done its crushing work on you and me, God will not despise, hear this, God will not despise the status of brokenness and helplessness. God does not cast aside sinners, that is those who recognize their sin. For it is in this very brokenness and fallenness that you have been prepared for God to meet you with another word, the word of the gospel. Therefore, since you have heard John the Baptist's message, hear now the coming message of Christmas, the message that is coming for you. The Lord Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, came down from heaven, and he did it for you. He was incarnate by the Holy Spirit, the Virgin Mary, for you. He was made man for you. This all happened so that he could live a perfect life and be crucified under Pontius Pilate, all of this for you. Indeed, he was born in a manger so that he could suffer and he could die and be buried for you. He now is raised and sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you. Christmas happened, my friends, so that the Lord Jesus Christ could die and bind you, yes, you, to his death through your baptisms. Christmas happened so that the Lord Jesus Christ could be resurrected, making his resurrection your resurrection. Baptized saints, as you continue to travel through this Advent season, you will be continually repented so that you can be prepared for the Christmas that is coming. Furthermore, this pattern of Advent and Christmas, John the Baptist and Jesus, as well as law and gospel, will continue throughout the rest of your lives so that you can always be reminded that the Lord purchased you, won you from all sins, from death, and from the devil. Praise be to God for Advent. Praise be to God for Christmas. Praise be to God for John the Baptist. And praise be to God for the babe born in the manger. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah.